it's too late in the day to have some now, because then I won't sleep well.
This is true. That, I think there is definitely an, I don't know. On the one hand, I'm like, everyone reaches a certain age where caffeine after five and you're like, oh, maybe not, you know. But I feel like if it comes from a Starbucks drive-through, it just doesn't count. You know what I mean? Like, if you're out and about and you're like doing stuff and you're like, oh, I'll just grab a coffee on the way. But if you're at home making sensible decisions, then suddenly not remotely appropriate. But there we go.
Well, I do have a Hipster's Delight in my fridge right now that I could probably go grab.
What on earth is a Hipster's Delight?
I mean, it's not a real term. Craft beer? I just made it up right now. No. It is a decaf coffee, cold brew iced coffee with quite a bit of cocoa in it.
Wow.
Brown sugar, okay. Not white. Yeah, so you get that nice molasses-y aftertaste.
You know, then, I'm all about that. Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, it's been a little while. It's been a bit hectic for all things gay on Can Queer, but we are thrilled to get things back under control. Looking at lining up some guests over the next few weeks or so as we dive into bringing you the latest LGBTQ news from across the country. Now, one story that we have been following quite closely is Halifax Pride, and the folks over at Waves have done a truly incredible job of keeping track of the, frankly, just, it was a saga of things. There was supposed to be a meeting in July that got cancelled at the last minute. Later in July, we were talking about how they were days away from the Pride Parade, but didn't tell anybody where it was. Mm-hmm. So that was a great thing. And then on the 14th, they were given the go-ahead for a new route.
And you can't do your parade without a permit. So surely they would know, because the permit would say where they're allowed to do road closures. The whole thing was baffling. The other thing is, because I remember there were questions at the time, and it was all over the place, questions about, are they incompetent, or are they on top of everything and just not communicating clearly? And it seemed to be, it wasn't so much about competency, it was more about, there was so much turnover and so much shuffling on the board that it was hard to get things done. And then when they did get things done, it was kind of last minute, because it would be when there's shuffling going on. And then in the end, the parade did happen.
Well, initially it wasn't going to. Mm-hmm. July 22nd, Halifax Pride and Halifax Emergency Management decided to pull the plug on the Pride parade happening. I think there were lots of wildfires in Nova Scotia at that time as well. Mm-hmm. And all of these things kind of come together. Then October 5th... said that what's the word I'm looking for here? There was a board meeting at for Halifax, the AGM. And media, I believe, were not invited. And I think a parade permit's actually been issued for October 28th. So one of those better late than ever pride parades.
I have been saying for a while that I would love to see more late autumn, early spring parades. You can do a lot more interesting stuff when it's not the temperature of the surface of the sun outside. I mean, not everybody likes summer, you know. Anyone with an autoimmune condition, e.g. myself, tends to suffer quite a bit in the heat. And I like the idea. I love the idea of having a pride parade where everyone's wearing toques and scarves.
And a cozy parade. Actually, yeah, cozy, you should parade, go yeah. to, you sh- I think it's Fergie, BC, mm-hmm. Where they have, there's at least one of them that has their pride parade in the winter. It's one of the sort of ski towns up in the mountains. And they have their pride parade in the winter. I don't know. Maybe, Sebastian, maybe you're asking too much. I think you're being a little demanding. And the reason why I say this is because somebody pointed out recently that pride in the US is Pride Month. It's June. Mm-hmm. I believe it's June. And then in Canada and in most of Europe, etc., it's Pride season, mm-hmm. where, you know, just the summer months as a whole get stretched out. Mm-hmm. And now you're advocating for the Pride, the other seasons. Like, you know, is there any time mm-hmm. safe, Sebastian, from the gays? Like,
I mean, the way that I view this is that it would be a safer parade, because if it is approximately minus 10 to plus 5 degrees Celsius outside, you're going to get a lot fewer complaints about people being overly sexual at Pride, because it's going to be hard to walk around wearing only a thong when hypothermia is on the table. So you're going to get a lot of people in nice peacoats. You're going to get it's the waistcoat and bow tie Pride parade. It's the classy Pride parade when you do it in the late autumn, early spring, not fully winter, because slipping hazards and you know, we don't want that. And especially here in Canada, because
you can't be sexy trudging through snow. Like, you know what I mean? No one's gone stomping through some snow on a sidewalk and gone, yeah, this is the look.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard. To be sexualized when you're wearing Sorels or Uggs.
Yeah.
Which is a very Canadian thing. I love that when people move to Canada and they're like, well, Canadians have no sense of fashion. And we actually kind of are known as being some of the worst dressers in the Anglosphere. And a lot of it does come down to winter. People, they come here, they get the nice shoes, the nice pants, they go outside one day in the winter, they come back, everything is destroyed by salt. And now they're just getting... They're tucking their fancy suits into the Sorels like the rest of us and just changing when they get to work. But bring that energy to the Pride Parade. And then a lot of the complaints about the community, actually even from within the community, would evaporate, because it would be like, well, everyone's wearing a sweater now.
You know, I think that sounds delightful. And honestly, I think Halifax Pride may have inadvertently stumbled on this, and I say inadvertently in the most extreme sense.
And then instead of like wine and coolers, it could be hot toddies for everyone. It could be a full switchover, and just, you know, bring out the roasted chestnuts at Pride.
I'm just picturing, you know, the late 50s butch lesbians, you mm-hmm. know, getting all of their with their dog, you know, yeah, making yeah. the meanest, you know, mac and cheese and mm-hmm. and what have you. Bring back lesbian potluck parties. Oh, mm-hmm. the bears. You're really describing Pride for bears. Maybe mm-hmm. you should just go to Provincetown. I think that's probably what what we're looking for here. But I think it's going to be interesting. Halifax, hopefully their Pride parade will be happening on October the 28th. Local businesses mm-hmm. Along the route were notified of the upcoming permit. Mm-hmm. But we did want to mention what happened recently. Now, it's been messy over at Halifax Pride. And I think messy is the politest phrase that we can use.
Well, but let's be honest, a high turnover.
We did. Yes, we did. I think it is important to realize, and this is a major struggle of nonprofits, mm-hmm. And the ability for volunteers who step up into positions of significant responsibility.
Yeah.
You know, if you're saying to the world, I am going to be acting with my fiduciary duties, which means mm-hmm. sort of legal obligations, on behalf of the members of the community, to run this organization, you know, then there's a bit of a community expectations, you know, for how that conduct is carried through. But at the same time, that is a lot of pressure. It is a lot of stress and weight on those folks. Mm-hmm. We see boards of directors go tits up at Pride organizations mm-hmm. up and down the country. Like, they are just... You know, boards of directors aren't always necessarily the safest pair of hands in mm-hmm. terms of boards of Capital Pride, not Capital Pride, in terms of Pride organizations. Mm-hmm. That's actually why I like Fiat de Canada Pride, FCP. You know, we've talked about this before. And one of the things that excites me most about this national organization is just the bureaucracy.
The bureaucracy excites you?
Absolutely. Oh. Yeah. Yeah. I am a gay man that gets excited by the bureaucracy. I mean, I'm now living in Ottawa, so I feel like I'm in the right place. Mm-hmm. Home of. But
Very excited when you watch Terry Gilliam's Brazil.
I don't know if I've seen
You've that. Never seen it. It's a imagine a post-apocalyptic movie, except instead of zombies or the bomb, the world is destroyed because the bureaucrats won.
Oh, dear.
It's very English.
Yeah, no, that sounds about right. but yeah, the reason why I'm a big fan of Fierté Canada Pride, or mm-hmm. Canada Pride, the national umbrella organization, is because institutional memory, for example.
Yes. Okay,
so yeah. When one big group of board volunteers moves over and changes over, then you don't know what you're doing. Mm. Or if you have hired a staff person to run your Pride event for the first time ever, mm-hmm. there's no previous staff person to say, this is how you do it.
Yeah.
You know, like, there is such high turnover.
Or even if they do have experience with other festivals, you know, that works, but not in this context. Or that doesn't work absolutely. For us. Or we've tried that before and the following people don't want to work with us. Or the following people insist on working with us. So even though you have your contacts who are probably very good, we have to go with these people and they need it done their way. So, I mean, like, it's there's so much, I mean, for lack of a better term, politics involved mm-hmm. in this. And speaking of which, actually, that is one of the major issues why a lot of prides fall apart is disagreement on the mandate. So you have some people saying that Pride, fundamentally what you're there to do is you are putting together a parade and a festival, and the community, it's a framework, and the community can come in and hang their politics onto it. So if you want to do an event, we'll promote it. And there's other people who say that, no, the job of Pride is to be that political organization. But, I mean, you get different things. Different community groups may have different visions about what they want. There's actually a lot of disagreement within the queer community about what certain things are, what they mean. You know, actually one of the big ones that we've been seeing over the past few years, and actually this year was a really hotbed for debate over this, is how sexual is too sexual when you're at a Pride event.
Yeah.
People disagree over that. And when you're saying that the institution itself has to be political, then they have to take a stance. And then if other people in the community disagree with them, then they may not show up to Pride, and that could ruin Pride because now only 2/3 of the community is there. Like, it goes on and on and on and on and on. It's pretty rough sometimes, but I mean, Fierté Canada Pride has one single mandate, which is to
support the prides
and support other prides. Yeah. So it's pretty straightforward. Whatever vision you have will support that. And then when you get down to the local prides, they may all have completely different visions about what it is that the board is supposed to do. A lot of activists end up on pride committees, but then you also see other pride committees where it's all local small business owners.
Mm-hmm.
Because
finding the balance is important. And that, don't get me wrong, I think Halifax Pride fell into a bit of a trap other prides have fallen into.
Mm.
Sorry, something in my throat. Which is where things are going, when things are going not well, nobody looks at that mess and goes, you know what, I'm going to wade into the middle of that and just get involved in what is clearly a sinking ship. Like, no one's booking tickets to the Titanic as it's going down. You know what I mean? Like, you're just not going to do that. And I think it's been a bit of a challenge. But this time, Halifax Pride they held their AGM. The board chair was answering questions. There's a sense from the coverage and waves that maybe the answers were not as robust as people would like them to have been. You know, we're talking about turnover within that board, decisions made in the moment, and so the accountability was attempted, but maybe not a fan. But what's worth noting here is Lisa Buchanan, who is a comedian out of I believe Nova Scotia, rallied together a slate of candidates. Like, look, here are X number of people.
Mm-hmm.
Vote us on, we'll sort it out. And there is some actual, you know, there is some qualifications on these groups.
They now have a surplus. They have the board of 12 people, all 12 seats has been filled, and there's a wait list for other people who applied and didn't make it on and are comfortable waiting in case somebody has to step down. It's a volunteer board. Stuff happens. People have other responsibilities. It's not unprofessional for volunteer board members to step away mid-year, mid-cycle, mid-whatever you want to call it. So they went from, what was it, three people struggling to keep the lights on to now too many people.
This
so
is
many
great.
People, I mean, there's a wait list. Yeah.
It shows that the community in Halifax have really rallied around. You know, I'm a little bit cautious. Amongst the list is Adam Reed. He recently resigned as the executive director of Halifax Pride. There's also previous Pride staff, Sarah Gordon, is there. She's now actually the Halifax Fringe Festival executive director. So when it comes to running festivals, huge experience and knowledge there. Then Hayden O'Malley, also former Halifax Pride staff. Then you got the chair of the youth board, Jen Wiles there. Then the ED of the youth project. Like, it's like we got executive directors, chairs, people with governance experience, people with festival experience. Like, this is the queer community in Halifax came together and decided the creme de la creme of folks who really could run a festival. Should run this one. So I'm like, you know what? This is going to be, this is probably amongst the strongest pride boards in the country right now.
Hopefully they get their paperwork in order, you know, get a good mandate, get a good vision, get a good a sense of direction for the festival. Good best practices in terms of documentation, minute taking, records, financials, which all sounds incredibly boring, but this is the side of things that makes a lot of Pride festivals tank, because they are, I mean, to say that the Pride festival is overly concerned about politics seems like a contradiction, because that's the function, is to be concerned about politics. But if that's to the point where keeping the lights on and getting the paperwork finished is sacrificed, that is when a lot of committees fall apart. I mean, there was there was that one committee meeting for Toronto Pride last year that I listened to the recording. And as I told you once, after 20 minutes, I had to drink. And I'm not a drinker, but this was a moment where I had to drink to listen to this thing. And it was clear that at that point in time, that was a year ago, 2 years ago, they had completely sacrificed the concept of institutionalized structure for a certain kind of politic that was just tanking the thing. And this is one of those like internal tension things about where do you balance it between making sure the festival is run properly, making sure the community is appeased, making sure that all the politics of what is fundamentally a political thing are satisfied. Tilt too far in any one direction and it falls apart. And we've seen it fall apart in every direction except for overly structured. For some reason, we're yet to see a Pride festival fall apart because the bureaucrats won.
Well, I mean, you say that, and I feel like there's still a potential there. All right. Well, we'll be jumping to our first song of the day, and we're going to go with a track by Aurora Bella. This is Dumb Enough, the clean version, and based out of Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. Aurora Bella, this is a track, Canadian queer good times. Will be coming back just after this.
I want to look pretty. You prefer me with no makeup on.
Welcome to Kangqueer, home of Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith.
And I'm Sebastian.
Welcome back, I should say, because we were here a little bit earlier talking about Halifax Pride. Now, one story we didn't quite get to, but was game-changing. You know, I think I can say that. We have been following an Ottawa-based organization called KIND for a great number of years. They went through a bit of a... I'm not a fan of the name because it's so just wishy-washy, KIND space. It's like, you know, a service calling itself Good Vibes. It's like maybe for a coffee shop that might work, but it's...
Well, the original name was asterisk KIND. And if you know computers, the asterisk is a wild card. So it's supposed to be like mankind, womankind, all kinds of people, person of any type of person. That kind of person is welcome here. That's what it was meant to be. But wild cards were taken out of all search engines quite some time ago. It's very difficult to use them now. I mean, the glory days of the internet when it was when wild cards were in the you find everything on the front page. But anyway, it doesn't matter. And before that, KIND was called
Pink Triangle Services. Yeah, exactly.
Which the name has a bit of a controversial history because Pink Triangles and the associations with Nazi Germany. A lot of people are trying to reclaim it. And you have other people being like, we don't need to reclaim Nazi symbolism. It's okay. So the there was a bit of a debate. And they're like, well, let's just rebrand. So, yeah, I was in Ottawa when this was happening, actually.
Yeah.
So I do remember this. Yeah.
Well, they have just received a pretty significant and frankly fantastic TD Ready commitment gift. So what TD, Toronto Dominion Bank, has released as part of their Ready commitment initiative is they have donated to KindSpace, this service center in Ottawa, $250,000 over 5 years. So about 50 grand a year. Now, that can do a whole lot of things. You know, it can pay for space. It could be, you know, a good chunk of a salary, you know, a whole person doing something for 5 years. And, you know, anyone who has worked in the nonprofit sector or the charity sector knows this, that one of the biggest challenges that service organizations have, in particular the charities, is the boom and bust cycle that really exists 1 year to the next. You know, you get a grant and then you can make the thing happen and you're just getting into stride and the year's over, funding finished, you know, that person's fired. And now you go back to square one. You know, it's really, really, really difficult to create continuity, to create, initiatives that actually have multi-year impact. It's a serious challenge. But, you know, this kind of commitment, what this says from TD is, you know, we believe that you're not going to be financially tits up in 2 years, you know, that we can actually back you for 5 years, meaning that they can take a look at their five-year plan and consider knowing that they have money to pay a person, pay the rent. They can think bigger. They can think more long-term. They can strategize and develop things that maybe get to more of the core of an issue as opposed to the Band-Aid on top. You know, this is huge. It's huge for an organization like KIND to have this kind of sustainability.
And fair enough. They are, if they're not the number one, they are one of the top three oldest service centers in Canada. So including the name change, going back to Pink Triangle Services, they go back to the mid 90s, I believe. They've had their doors open for quite some time, even before grants to institutions like this were common. Like they've been able to keep the lights on for quite some time. They have a nice long history of at least staying afloat. I'm not gonna vouch for the quality of service throughout its entire history. Every not-for-profit has good years and bad years as well, according to good directors, bad directors, good boards, bad boards. Sometimes politics, I mean, obviously in an institution like this, you can get politics involved. Sometimes you get, again, people with different visions of how to interpret the mandate, and that can make a hiccup. Mm-hmm. But they have been consistently open for decades. So it would make sense that they would get a grant like this.
Absolutely. Well, they have indicated that they're looking at boosting the work they do in terms of supporting mental health in the city of Ottawa. They're looking at doing more support for their peer group, things that they have going. Actually, you know, this is, now I'm thinking about it. When I first came to Ottawa, I joined Pink Triangle Youth, PTY. Do you remember that?
I remember it existing, but I am 10 years older than you, so I would not.
This is true, yeah. So you may have missed the boat on that one. But yeah, that's how I met my first boyfriend. I met Tony through Pink Triangle Youth, which is just a youth group.
Oh, and really, that's how you met him.
And I also met Stars there, if you remember Stars.
Mm-hmm.
And a few other people. But it was what that group did, and I can't believe I forgot about it until now, is it created a space where folks in the community were able to connect. Now, we both went to Carleton, and the Pride Center at Carleton acted very much in the same way in terms of being a space where folks can gather, make friendships, and sort of, you know, go from there. But yeah, what they're saying is like, look, yeah, this funding means that we can make sure that, you know, someone's able to turn the lights on at the end of the day, meaning that we can have